Drew with us tonight, and I asked him this afternoon, I said, man, you want to preach? And he said, sure. I said, well, good. We're going to let you have a chance. So we're just rooting for him. Say amen, sick him, you know, and we'll keep him going tonight. Brother Mahaney, come ahead.
Amen. We are beyond grateful for our home church. We were trying to explain it to Eric this afternoon, home church, and he says, Dad, we're not home. I said, I get that, but this is, you know, our church that sent us. And he goes, well, why don't we call it a sending church? I said, okay, we'll call it a sending church from now on, because our home church is in Korea. And so my kids get it. They're not at home. They're ready to go back. They miss it. We're grateful for your prayers for us, for your support of us. When we came back, we at the first were like, we got this, no problem. God's going to take care of it. And then COVID hit, and we know how that handles everything and how that went along with everything, and it just didn't go well. And I was panicking, trying to figure out every other way to raise support. I even looked into teaching online. It fell through. It didn't work out well. And I'm glad it didn't, because I've heard others have had some problems with that same company. But just trying to figure it out myself, and I couldn't. And when I said, okay, I'm done, my wife said, have you prayed about this? And I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Wife's got a good way of doing that to you sometimes. And as we started praying about it, the Lord started closing the doors and started leading us in other directions. And that's when things started happening. And we've told you some of that as we've been traveling, come through a couple of times and watching God work. Amen. So this evening, I want to just kind of talk about that a little bit. Watching God work. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, pastor said to stay away from those foods. In Korea, I had it checked out, and the Korean doctors say that the number one cause of gout is stress. It's hard to stay away from stress. So pray for us. We've got a lot on our plate. Thankfully, there's another missionary that's in Seoul that just went back to Korea today. He just arrived, and I've been talking with him multiple ways and finding out how he handled everything, and it seems to be pretty seamless. It's not going to be a huge deal. I have to have a doctor somewhere check me out. So pray that we can get that taken care of. Most doctors don't want to do that unless they absolutely have to, and it's very difficult. So pray that we can get that handled. They just have to have a note on our person saying that we're healthy. And then from there, all we have to do is just go in within 72 hours, take a COVID test there in country, which I'm okay with that because their tests are not politically charged. So I know whether I actually have it or not from them. And so just pray with us that we can get in, get through quarantine, get back on the road, we're done with that. Get back on the path of growing the church. Pray for our church. They have gone back into quarantine in Korea because of a church in Seoul that decided they were going to disobey all the orders. They had a protest in the main square in Seoul, right outside the train station, protesting the government's treatment of churches without masks, without all these different things like that. And you say, well, what, you're a masker in Korea, it's kind of required, and we don't have the choice to say no. But that they're pointing to that church and saying, all churches are like this church. Therefore, they're trying to shut them all down. So pray with us. Our church has been moved back online. And so we are doing everything online. Lord willing, that'll be done by the end of the month. And then the government is probably not going to allow us to meet in the building while we're quarantining in the same building, because their tracker can say where I'm at in the building and where I'm at from over top. So they can't tell whether I've gone up a floor or not. And they want to make sure that I'm not joining in the services without sending someone there. And so there's a good chance that we won't be able to hold live meetings. So maybe this is just God's way of working to where we're used to doing it online, and then we can go back to live meetings after that. So pray for all those situations. We've got a lot going on there. Pray with us as we get ready to leave. 2 weeks from tomorrow, we're going home, and we're excited about that. So Hebrews chapter number 12, we're going to look at verse number 2. verse number 2, and this is really where God's been working in my heart over the past month or so. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, for what he means to us, for what he means to our ministry. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to open your word and just to examine Christ. I pray, Father, that you would help us now as we go through this. I pray that you would clear my thoughts, make them concise and understandable. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got a lot on our plate. And it almost seems like we have too much. I feel like that 3-year-old at Thanksgiving that's been given the paper plate and it's about ready to fall over. My children do it all the time. I feel like it's just all there, and there's so much that has to be taken care of before we leave. We've got to get birth certificates and different things like that, and it's just, there's a lot going on. And in my devotions the past couple of months, it just seems like the Lord's been pointing back to looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. I can't take care of these things. I can't, you know, we look at all the worst case scenarios. I got my driver's license renewed. My one in Korea is good for 10 years, but it's only good if my American license is good. So I had to get it renewed, and the website says it could take up to 6 weeks. I got here in like 7 days. Panic for no reason. Panic for no reason. We have to be focused in the right place. Where are you focused? Isaiah, when he got his life focused on God and not on the sin of Israel, things changed for him. Satan is great at distracting our focus. Turn on the news. There's always something bad to read about or to look at. Sports nowadays are politically charged and useless. They've always been useless, but we're learning more and more now. We can look at the weather. Everybody was focused 2 weeks ago on those dual hurricanes that were crisscrossing in the Gulf. We can look at everything, the virus, the sin of others, but our focus cannot be on those things. Our focus is on the Lord. If you're keeping score tonight, the title of the message is just simply Looking Unto Jesus. I want to take a walk through John and look at who Christ is. Then we're going to look at who we are, who I am in Christ, and then what should that do to us? So there are 4 points, not super long. It's going to be pretty quick. But flip with me back to John. Remember that passage there, looking unto Jesus. John chapter number 6. And if you're familiar with the book of John, there are 7 I ams that Christ gives to us in the book of John. And so we're going to look at those 7 I ams, and they don't encompass who all he is. But they do a pretty good job of helping us understand who Christ is. And as we look through and we study more and I see how amazing he is and how wonderful he is into my life, it's fun to watch how he fills every one of these in my life. Not just that he says who he is, but he says, "I am this for Drew. I am this for each of you." Put your name in there. Look at John chapter number 6, verse number 35. He says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." I wake up in the morning with cotton mouth every morning. I've got to get me a bottle of water. I usually have one sitting next to me so I can just down it, have it ready to go. And if I pull it out of the fridge the night before, it's the perfect temperature just to guzzle the whole thing in one sitting. I understand what it means to be thirsty. When we travel to Korea, they're going to give us kimchi and rice. I'm going to be hungry when we get to Korea. We're not going to be able to stop and get food because we're in quarantine technically, and we're going to be quarantined in our car for the 4-hour drive back to our house and then quarantined in our house until we can get things set up for 2 weeks. Hunger is a big thing. But Christ here says, "I am the bread of life." If you've tasted that bread, you know how sweet it is. You know how wonderful it is to have the bread of life in your life, to have that set up for you to where you know you're on your way to heaven. You're not going to have to hunger. You're not going to have to thirst. Christ fulfills everything. We think about Matthew chapter number 4 when Jesus Christ was out on the mountain, out in the wilderness, and he was being tempted. And Satan says, "Aren't you hungry? Turn those stones into bread." What did Christ say? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." How do we know the bread of life? How can we get to know the bread of life? We can read his word. We can be involved in his word and trying to learn every day. You know, we've used the example of love letters. I have that box that I've told you about probably in every message in Korea of all the love letters my wife has written to me over the years. And because I want to go back and read them and see how much our love has changed and grown, how much I've learned to love her more. Not because of you know, different things, just we've grown closer together. We've become more of one than what we were when we first were married or even when we were dating. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. If we want to know the bread, we've got to be in his word. If we're going to sustain ourselves, we've got to be in his word. How many times as Christians do we feast one time a week or two or three times a week? We come Sunday and we pig out on Sunday and then we don't eat again until Wednesday. That's not going to sustain us. We've got to be in his word daily. Look at me at John chapter number 8. I'm trying to keep it under 10 minutes from Brother Hawkins. So, John chapter 8, verse number 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Our path to Korea seems a little dark. It's a lot of unknowns. We could arrive there. We could clear quarantine. We could go to the immigration office and they could say, "Nope, we're not renewing your visas. You've got to the 19th of October to be out of country." It could happen. And we know that that's an option. And we're completely at the will of the Korean government. Now, we don't see that being a problem. We don't see that happening. But, you know, you got that in the back of your mind. You're thinking about these things and the darkness that comes with that. And the Lord says, "I am the light." The problem with the light is the closer you get to it, the easier it is to see some of those blemishes. The closer you get to the light, the easier it is to see those problems in your own life. And a lot of us don't want to be near that light because we're afraid of the stuff that we find when we get closer. When my wife is trying to clean her face, whatever, she tries to get as close to the mirror and as bright as she can. And we were in one prophet's chamber that there was a ring around the mirror that was just a light. And it was like you were at the movie theater or something, like they were recording us or something because it was super bright. But the brighter the light, the closer you are to it, the more can be seen. Jesus says, "He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Are we walking in the light? In Psalms chapter 119, it says, "The word of God is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my path, a feet and a light unto my path." Well, those lights weren't meant to light up a whole parking lot, weren't meant to light up a whole area. They weren't floodlights. It was simply to show you the next step, simply to show you the next path. Maybe a few steps down the road, but that's it. For us, we know our next step is to fly out on the 24th and to survive 2 weeks in quarantine with three crazy kids who can't go outside for 14 days. Pray for us. Amen. That's our next step, and beyond that, we don't know other than we're going to serve God and we're going to be ready to do whatever he has for us. But we've got to be in the light. John chapter number 10. Verse number 7, Jesus saith unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Look at verse number 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." I was doing some research on the sheepfold. I'm working through Isaiah to be able to teach to our people when we get back. Looking at the sheepfold. Those folds in Bible times didn't have doors. They would go in, and the shepherd would lay in front of the door as a protector of the sheep. "I am his sheep. He is my protector. He helps me find that green pasture that I need. He leads me verse number 11 and 14, they kind of go together. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14 says again, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He is the good shepherd. What have I to fear as long as I'm trusting in him? I know he's led us to where we need to go. I just have to be faithful to follow. Same for each and every one of you. I know we're not all going to Korea. We're trying to convince Preacher to go, but, you know, sometime soon. Lord willing, he'll see it maybe, you know, in the future when we're all together with Christ. Maybe I can take him over there and show him Korea. Lord, can we have a holiday for a minute? We're going to go see Korea. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. Sometimes he leads through the valley, and it's difficult. We told you that first message back that Korea has not been easy for us. If you would have told me what we were going to go through, I might not have gone. But it's worth it. Because the Lord has been there with us. He has guided us the entire way. He has been in control. Even when it seems like he wasn't, even when it seems like we were having struggles, the Good Shepherd was there, protecting us and caring for us, giving Leela an American English speaker that could be a friend to her. COVID has extended their stay in Korea. We're going to get to see them when we go back because they're going to be stuck there for an extra 3 months. They don't like it, but, you know, hey, Leela gets to see her friend that God has place in her life, and she realizes that that's what God has done, that maybe this is the reason why COVID came, so we could stay here longer. God is the good shepherd. Look at John 11, verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection. It has been said to us by many people, why would you go to Korea and go catch bullets? And to go catch rockets from up north. So be it. I'm going to heaven. Don't have to worry about it. My mom used to say, don't threaten me with heaven. If you're saved tonight, you know that there's a resurrection for you. We're going to rise again. We're going to stand before God. Now that's scary, though. Think about that. We're going to stand before God. Every person on earth is going to be resurrected. Whether you're saved or you're lost, we're all going to be resurrected. We're all going to have to stand and face God for our life. Our Christians are going to stand for those that have, for what we've given God and what we've done with the time we've been given. The lost will have to stand and answer for why they chose not to receive Christ. Jesus Christ here, the story of John 11 is a fascinating one. He was going to Bethany, for Lazarus was sick, and he tarried, and Lazarus died. And when he got to Bethany, Mary says, if you were just here, he would have been saved. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus rose again that day. But Lazarus died again. He's not still walking the earth. Lazarus passed away again, but someday he will rise. Again, he'll stand before God just like you and I will. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Look at John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no other truth. Truth is not relative. There is no other life. There is no other way. Oprah may think there is, but she's confused. Yeah. There is no other way. All roads don't lead to heaven. There is only one road that leads to heaven. That's the narrow way. Jesus Christ is the only way to enter heaven. But if we're following him, we're on the way. We're following the truth. When we get away from that, that's when we have problems in our life. When we have struggles. Now, I'm not saying that if we're following Christ, we're not going to have struggles. Last 3 years of my life is testimony to that. But Jesus Christ promises to be the way, the truth, and the life. And if we're going to stand before God, we're going to have to. Remember Moses? Moses asked God, can I look upon you? And he says, no man can look upon me and not perish. So God put him in the cleft of the rock and let him see his backside. That was it. We'll be able to stand before God in Christ. But we can't do it on our own power. Isaiah says that our righteousness are as filthy rags. They mean nothing. They're garbage. They're gross. Me and myself is useless, dirty. But in Christ, there's life. There's truth. Are you following Christ? I like this one. This has been my favorite one. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus says in verse 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruits. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Jesus Christ says, I am the vine. How many times have we tried to do it on our own? I've been there. I'm guilty as charged. Tried to figure things out on my own. When our church in Korea was struggling financially, I tried to crunch the numbers and make it happen. And the Lord said, depend on me. When our men said, Pastor, you need to go back to the States and raise some more support. I said, I can't abandon this church. I'm not going to do that. I feel like a failure. And I said, well, we're trusting the Lord, and the Lord's told us this. Pray some more. And then when we decided, okay, it's time to go, and COVID happened. And I felt like we were telling our church, we're going to the States where it's safe. Now, back then it was safe. We're going to the States where it's safe. Y'all be good here. We're going to pray for you. Don't get sick. And it felt like we were abandoning them. And our men came to us and said, Pastor, we've prayed about this. We know it's God's will for you to go now. You need to go. God will take care of us. And God has. So Pastor and I were talking about it. We've had better offerings through COVID than we had before COVID. And I can't explain it. I can't. But God is taking care of our church in Korea. And it's nothing I've done. I've not been there to encourage them to give. I've not sent Facebook messages saying, hey, we're needing you to give your tithes. No, when I talked to Andrew a few weeks after being in Korea, he said, Pastor, all of our Koreans have called us and asked us for the bank account number. Because in Korea, everybody sends money to each other through the bank account number. And so I sent it to everybody. And our Americans come by once a month and drop off an envelope with all of their tithes. Okay, well, that works. And God is taking care of our church. They've done better during COVID than we have any other time. When we try to do it ourselves, we're going to fail. We're doomed to fail. Christ says, you can't do anything without me. We can't do anything without Christ. I'm learning this. It's not an easy lesson to learn to rely on God in everything. I have an analytical mind. I want to figure it all out. And it doesn't work that way. The ministry is not a math problem. It's not. Life is not a math problem. Even calculus or algebra 2 or all that craziness doesn't even stack up to life. It's not a figure it out thing. It's just simply trust God. Rely on that vine. That vine doesn't need me to survive. It doesn't. Christ is going to go on without me. The church is going to go on without me. We've seen that. The church in Korea, even though they're excited about us coming back, God has sustained them without me being there. God has provided a man. Andrew has stepped up and done an excellent job. 3 years ago, he said, I'm not going to do it. And we were talking the other day. We're glad that he stepped up because COVID would have made him do it anyways. So I'd rather have a willing servant than a forced servant. And Andrew is excited that he was willing and not forced to do this. He would have done it, but it would not have been as well as it's gone now. But watching God work, stepping back and saying, it's not me. I got into the habit and into the danger of saying, these people come to our church because they like me. They don't. Mr. Tway comes to our church because we use the King James Bible. Doesn't matter if it's me preaching or somebody else preaching, he's coming because of the King James Bible. Amen. The other people that come to our church, they come because it's the only place where they're hearing the truth. Now, the truth can come from me or the truth can come from someone else, but it's going to come from the Bible. They're not there because of me. They're there because of God. They're there because God has placed them there. I'm learning these lessons, and God's working through us and trying to teach us these things. But Jesus Christ, he is the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the vine. Now, who am I? Who am I? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 11 says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Without Christ, I am unworthy. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve to be in the ministry. I don't deserve to be up here speaking this evening. I don't. But God has washed me, sanctified me, justified me. I'm getting ahead of myself. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 5. When Isaiah sees God high and lifted up, he says, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Wow. He got focused on God, and he said, man, I am undone. Who am I without Christ? I'm undone. We know the verses, Romans 3:23, 6:23, and 3:10, all tell us that we are sinners. Nathan's a tough nut to crack. He is by far my wife's child. he's all me. He's a tough nut to crack. For the longest time, Nathan would pray in devotions that he would get saved. Lord, show me salvation. About a month ago, he went forward with me and prayed that God would save him. And I worked with kids my whole teenage life. I'm never going to be one to say, you're saved. Here's the date. Because I don't want him to go to heaven and say, but Lord, Daddy said I'm saved. And then have to look at me and say, but you said I was saved. And the Lord said, depart from me. I'm not going to do that to my child. Nathan, for the longest time, we'd say, the Bible says that you're a sinner. Nope, not me. Every kid goes through this. Nope, not me. I am perfect. Never once sinned. Why do you get spankings? Well, you know, mommy and daddy are just confused or something. Nathan is he's exciting. We are all sinners. And without Christ, we're doomed to the lake of fire. Separation from God forever. Pray for Nathan. I think he's got it, but I'm not going to tell him that. He's changed, though. He's starting to see his faults. He's starting to understand the problems. And he's not saying to me anymore, I can't behave because I'm lost. Eric behaves because he's saved. He told me that in Korea multiple times. I can't do it because I'm not saved. How can I be good if I'm not saved? But now he doesn't say that anymore. He doesn't say, Eric's saved and I'm not, so I can't be good. No, he's starting to make decisions. He's learning verses. We're teaching him out of Proverbs. Be not wise in your own eyes. And when Reagan makes a mistake, or Nathan makes a mistake and does something wrong, or chooses to do the wrong thing, you say, Nathan, what does Proverbs say? Be not wise in my own eyes. So was that wise in the Bible eyes, or was it wise in your eyes? It was wise in my eyes. I shouldn't have done that. And he understands. I think he's got it. But pray for him. Pray for Reagan. Reagan's coming along, and Nathan and Eric both trying to preach at him is going to be interesting. Eric used to sit in the back of the car and tell Nathan that if he doesn't get saved, he's going to hell. He's going to burn. And Nathan's like, I don't want to burn. I'm like, Eric, you've got to slow your roll. Back that up just a little bit. We don't want to scare him into heaven. We want him to be truly saved. Without Christ, we're hopeless. There's no hope. I told you about Ben and the chaplain who forced them to go to suicide prevention training. And when he came back to my house the next night, we were talking about what the chaplain had said. That's the same chaplain that told me that this is a military issue, not a civilian issue. We don't need your help, but out. Was now telling these soldiers that to prevent suicide, we got to have a buddy system. Nobody left alone. Okay? We've got to make sure that if they're showing these signs that they need to go see somebody, they need to go talk to the chaplain, they need to go talk to a psychiatrist, go get some drugs, go get help. Chaplain saying these things. And Ben looked at me and said, that's not going to help. I said, I'm glad you see that. Amen. Even if the chaplain doesn't see it, you see it. And he said, the only thing that's going to help is Christ. Amen. Those soldiers need to hear about Christ. That's the only way that's going to prevent suicide. Korea has a large uptick, and especially right now because they're on lockdown as much as the Korean people are. The Koreans can meet in groups of 50. The military can't go anywhere with groups of 15. So they've got to stay way under that number because they don't want to catch it. They don't want it to spread like wildfire through these places because you're not ready to fight tonight if you're all sick. And so they're going above and beyond, and these soldiers are confined to their rooms, confined to the post, and it's boring, and they've got nothing to do, and they have no hope. There's no hope. Without Christ. We've already talked about a few of these in 1 Corinthians. Who am I in Christ? Number one, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Purchased from the slave market of sin and set free to be a child of God. I am redeemed. I am justified. Growing up, that word was always taught to us, is just as if I'd never sinned. He's justified me. I like this one. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Verse number 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm sealed. Never to be removed. I can't get out of it if I wanted to. You can't take me out of it. Nothing can remove me from salvation. Who am I in Christ? I'm redeemed. I'm justified. And I'm sealed. And lastly tonight, what should we do then? What then should we do? Look at Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Verse number 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What should we then do? Our lives should be changed. Our lives should be changed. We talked about it with Nathan. We're seeing a change in his heart. It's become tender. He's become more aware of his sin. He's got the Holy Spirit. I think he does. I think he's there. He's got the Holy Spirit in his heart saying, hey, son, that's not right. And he's learning to listen to that still small voice, learning to follow that. You claim to be a Christian tonight, you can't walk in the world. That fountain can't be spitting salt water and fresh water. It's not possible. It doesn't work. It can't be corruptible and uncorruptible. It's got to be one or the other. What did Christ say about the church that was lukewarm? I'd rather that you were hot or that you were cold, but you're lukewarm, and therefore I spewed you out of my mouth. We can't be in the middle. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. It's back where we started. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What should we do then? We should get our eyes on Christ. Get our eyes on Christ. When an athlete runs, now I know that I don't have experience in this, but I've read and I've heard and I've talked to athletes. They focus on a set goal. When they run in the Olympics, they're not running against their partners. They're trying to run against that world record. They want to break that world record, and they're running as fast as they can for that one prize. Not to beat this buddy next to them. Yes, we want to get the gold medal, but they want that ultimate prize of having their name in the record books forever or until the next guy beats it. They run with a focus on the prize. Focus on the finish line. When we came back to Korea, our focus was not on the next meeting, was not on getting to the next church. Yes, that was important, and I know that was part of the process. Our focus was getting back to Korea. That was what everything was done for. That's the whole reason why we traveled and why we did all these things we had to do, was for the main purpose of getting back to Korea. Now, there are rumors, and I don't know how true they are, that if we stay in Korea for 7 years, that we could get permanent residency. And if that's true, we'll see y'all in 7 years. If that's the case, we're going to do everything we can to try to get that, because that's going to give us so much freedom, so much more ability to be able to do things. Right now, anything that I do is cause for deportation. If I leave my house and don't have a good reason, like I'm going to get my COVID test done, that's the only good reason, by the way. But if I leave my house to go to the store and they see that, they're going to be like, hey, here's your plane ticket. See y'all later. Don't come back. They're serious about their quarantine. There have been 180 Americans deported in the past 3 weeks because they were not obeying quarantine. They're not playing. They're not joking. And we're not going to go out for anything. We might hang our kids out the window, but no. We're gonna abide by those rules, because the end goal is not just to clear quarantine. The end goal is to see souls saved. Koreans and soldiers reached with the gospel of Christ. But our focus can't be on everything around us. It can't be on the possibility that we could be told to leave in October. $4,000 to fly over and $4,000 to fly back in all of 2 weeks. We can't focus on that. We could be a Debbie Downer or whatever, looking back and trying to figure out how to plan for this. If we get quarantined in the airport, it's going to be $10,000 to quarantine there at the airport. They're going to put us up in a hotel, and we've got to pay that bill, $2,000 per person for 14 days total. I don't have $10,000 lying around. We're praying that Nathan doesn't cough while we're in the airport. Nathan's got to hack his lungs out. Whether it needs to happen or not, he's going to cough at the top of his lungs, and he's going to get us quarantined. Pray that he doesn't. We're going to have cough syrup on the way there, and he'll be well. He'll be taken care of. But we can't focus on those things. We've got to focus on Christ. I know Christ wants us to go to Korea, and he's going to provide. He's going to take care of us. When we got trapped in San Francisco on the way to Korea, I told Preacher, I'm buying a Southwest ticket. I'll be back in a few hours. We'll meet you at the airport. I was done. And he said, there's a reason why you're being stuck. Trust God. Get on that plane and go. And I know that reason now is 10 souls. 10 people that have been reached with the gospel of Christ. And many other that have had seeds planted in their hearts that, Lord willing, we'll see growth from when we get back. And we'll see salvation of Hyunshul and her husband and Megong in a few years when she's old enough to understand. And we'll see the salvation of some of our Taekwondo kids that I deal with on a daily basis. There's four of them that text me at least once a month saying, when are you coming back? We miss you. Wow. They're not part of my church. They're just kids that I go to Taekwondo with. But they know that we're there for a purpose. And every one of them have received the gospel. Every one of them have heard what it means to be saved. Now, have they accepted it? Who knows? Maybe someday we'll find out that those tracts we passed out all those many years ago, we got salvations from. We saw people get saved. But our focus can't be on the virus, can't be on everything else. It's got to be on Christ. And lastly, submit to him. Look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. I know we've been all over the place tonight, but I promise this is the last one. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number 3, because of who we are in Christ, we must submit to him. It's called an altar. He tells us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. You know why they had to kill the animals before they threw them on the altar? Because they weren't going to stay there. Think about frogs. When you throw them in the boiling water, what do? No, sir. Not today. I'm not getting boiled. They have to be taken care of. Or the frogs, you put them in cold water and then you work the heat up. We know that illustration there of being comfortable with the world. But Christ calls us to be living sacrifices. Being a sacrifice is not comfortable. It's not easy. But it's necessary. We've got to give God everything. He says that our sacrifice should be holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. If the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and he had one unconfessed sin, that was it. God would strike him dead as soon as he crossed. That's why they had to wear bells. So they knew when the sound stopped, time to tug him out, because he's not walking out. It's serious. God wants us to be a reasonable sacrifice, or an acceptable sacrifice. And then he says it's our reasonable service. It's not above and beyond. You say, brother, going to Korea, that's above and beyond. No, it's not. It's not. It might be for you because God's not called you to, but if I go anywhere but Korea, I've not even reached reasonable. We told you before Brother Dunbar was called to be the assistant here, Satan sat on my shoulder the entire deputation and said, you could fill that spot. You could take that spot. Why are you on deputation going to Korea? You should fill that spot. I would have ruined this church if I'd taken that spot because it's not God's will. It's not God's will for my life. Then he says in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is not ambiguous. It's not. You say, Brother Mahaney, do you find a verse in the Bible that says go to Korea? No. But God used verses like Romans 10, 13, 14, and 15. And I was in the middle of Korea. And the Lord started to say, they don't know about me, and they don't know about me, and they don't know about me. What are you going to do about it? Here am I, Lord. I'll go. And it took me a little while. We know those stories. I didn't want to, but the Lord finally got my heart. and I'll never look back. God's perfect will for my life is South Korea. And I can't wait to get back to it. But what is God's will for your life? Say, Brother Manny, how do I find that? Do a word search. Search God's will in your King James Bible. There's a lot of things that it says, this is the will of God for you. Reading your Bible, praying, being in church, giving. All those things are found in God's word. Now with my children, I have to give them one job. I can't say, Eric, do this, 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 and this. Because none of it's getting done. Those of you that have kids, you're like, yes. Some of you are like, my teenagers and my adult children are the same. You have to give them one job. And then they learn how to multitask. Eric's almost at the, he can almost do two jobs. But as they learn to do those one job faithfully, Nathan's taking out the trash. That's his job. He's supposed to do that every time, take out the trash. And he learns to do those little things faithfully. Then I can give him something bigger. And then bigger. And then bigger. God works the same way with us as Christians. If we're not faithful in the little things, why is he going to give us something big? Those big things require the little things. They require you to be in God's word. Being in Korea has driven me to my knees more than I ever could imagine. Because pastor doesn't have the answers. Most of the time, his answers are, let's pray about it. His answers are, get in the Bible and find the answer. Not because he's not capable, but because there are things in Korea that he doesn't have to handle here. Anybody speak a second language, like fluently, and that's the only language you speak? Separate cultures, doesn't happen here. There are things that we've dealt with, and I've called him, and he's like, brother, I have no clue. Let's pray about it. And I'm thankful for a pastor that says, let's pray. And has taught me to be on my knees. And taught me. And we've gotten to where we don't talk as much. I call him every couple of weeks. And that I think it probably took us about 4 months before I called him and I said, nothing is wrong. I just wanted to say God's good. Just want to let you know we're still alive. It took us a while. But God is good. When we get our focus off of everything going on around us and we look at who Christ is, the I Am's from John chapter 6 through 14, or 15, when we realize that without him, we can't do anything. Without him, there's no redemption, no justification, no sealing, it doesn't happen. Then it'll change our life. We should keep our eyes on Christ and we've got to submit to him. Where's your focus tonight? Are you focused on Christ? Or do all the other distractions that Satan's thrown at your way got you confused and dazed? Like the boxer on the ropes. We've got to stay focused on him and everything. Are you focused on him tonight? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. Pray, Father, that you would help us to keep our focus on Christ. Keep our focus on who he is and what he's done for us. I pray that you help us now this evening as we ponder these thoughts. Do with our hearts. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Would you remain in your head now and your eyes closed tonight? Let me just remind you, Lord, I need to start with my still looking at the If you're looking under him, can you see where what he's doing in your life? But if you're looking unto him, if you're looking unto him, he'll be working. I want to give you a chance not just pray. You don't have to come to the front, but just pray. Pray. Lord, that means keep looking to you. You can work in my life. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God's been brought to us in the message. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed, our hearts focused on you. And Lord, that you might have free reign to work in our hearts and our lives, that you'd move among us, you'd do what only you can do, and Lord, we'd let you do that work. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. Glad you're here. I hope you have a good week and everything goes well. Let's look for a great day Sunday, all right? God bless you.